The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Amen. That's right. Every day, every moment. Today we're going to talk about the root of bitterness. Hallelujah. I like talking about the root of bitterness because we want to root it out. Amen. Get rid of that thing. We do not want bitterness in our lives. Bitterness destroys. Bitterness becomes unforgiveness, and unforgiveness destroys people's lives. It fosters envy and selfishness, and unforgiveness and bitterness creates an atmosphere in families, in people's lives, in churches, that creates all kinds of evil things. James 3:16 says this, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." So when we see envy and self-seeking, bitterness rising up, there's going to be evil things taking place. There's all kinds of evil that it stirs up. What we do is we open the door for the satanic entities to have their way in our life, in our church, in our family, when we open the door through bitterness coming into our life. Hebrews 12:14 says this, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Many become defiled because of the root of bitterness. And I'm telling you, just one person who allows the root of bitterness to spring up, to rise up in their life, to take root, can create havoc in a whole congregation of people, a whole group of people. Bitterness must be stopped. I heard a little story about a grizzly bear who had a fresh kill, and along came another bear, wanted to help have dinner with this grizzly bear. And of course, the grizzly bear growled, "This is my dinner," and the bear left. And then along came a wolf, and he wanted to have dinner with the grizzly. And the grizzly said, "This is my dinner." And then along came a skunk, and the skunk saddled up beside the grizzly, and they ate dinner happily together. The grizzly had come to this conclusion that the consequences of bitterness were not worth it, not worth the stink and the stench. And that's what we must come to, is realization that bitterness is not worth the stench that it creates. It will destroy us. It's a root, and this word here literally means, Greek word means root, that I just read to you. Bitterness is bitter gall, extreme wickedness, a bitter root. And so, not only a bitter root produces bitter fruit. And that's what happens when we allow bitterness to begin to grow. There's a plant that grows in the southwest in high desert areas. It's called a yucca plant. And a lot of people like this yucca plant because the yucca plant is ornamental, and it produces, it's beautiful. And a lot of people ship these yucca plants in to put them in their yards and their gardens. But what they find out is that a yucca plant has roots that have fingers on them. And those roots go down deep and go out, and then little yucca plants start springing up all over the place. And it becomes a nightmare sometimes for people because they have such a hard time containing these yucca plants. The yucca fruit creates yucca root, and the yucca root springs up. Yucca bitterness, that's what it is. It's bitterness springs up all over the place when we allow it to grow in our lives. So today I want to talk just a little bit about bitterness. I want to make three quick points. Three points to overcoming bitterness. And every one of us, now I don't care how good of a person, you can be the best person in the world, you still have to deal with bitterness. You can like everybody and everybody like you, and you can still have to deal with bitterness. We're offended sometimes by what other people do. And if we're not careful, we'll let this bitterness take root in our life. And it will change the atmosphere in your family and in your life. In Luke chapter 9, so the first point, I guess, I need to say, overcoming bitterness requires a change of heart. In Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus is told. Could you put that back down right now until I'm ready for it? Thank you. That's scripture. The story of Zacchaeus is told. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And not only was he a tax collector, let me preface this by saying tax collectors were hated by the Jews because they were traitors in the Jewish mind. The tax collectors were usually Jews or people of their own race, but they had become agents of the state, of the Romans, and they collected taxes for the Romans. And oftentimes, not only did they collect taxes, they over-collected taxes, and they became very wealthy. And people hated them, and they just despised them. And Zacchaeus not only was a tax collector, but he was a chief of tax collectors. So he had other tax collectors working under him. This man became very wealthy. And he probably most likely extorted some money from people. And the other thing about Zacchaeus that we need to understand is that Zacchaeus, according to the Bible, he was a small man. And we don't know exactly how small he was, but he was small enough that he had to climb up in a tree to see Jesus over the crowd. It's very possible that Zacchaeus was smaller than just small. He might have been a dwarf. And I could tell you this, even whether he was or not, this is speculation on my part, whether he was or not, any malady that you had in the Jewish community at that time, you were considered a sinner. You were either a sinner or your family had sinned. And your whole life, if you had anything that was out of ordinary on your face or in your body, any kind of malady, even being a small person, they would look at you and call you a sinner. And you would have to live with that your whole life. And I have the feeling that Zacchaeus, being a little guy, wanted to show everybody just how he could make it. And he became very wealthy. And the Bible confirms that he was wealthy. And Jesus came along and looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want you to come home with me today. Or I want to go to your home today. And he went to Zacchaeus' home. And of course, all the religious people were saying, look at that. He's having a meal with a sinner. But Jesus came for all people. And yes, we're all sinners. So praise God that he came for us as well. But Zacchaeus went to his house that day. And here's what I want you to see with Zacchaeus. Because my point is, overcoming bitterness requires a heart change. If you try to overcome bitterness all by yourself, you will fail. It takes a heart change. You must allow Holy Spirit to deal with your heart. You must seek Jesus with all your heart. You must climb a tree if it's necessary to see Jesus in this situation. Jesus has to change your heart. Holy Spirit has to change your heart. And here's what Zacchaeus said to Jesus that day. Luke 19:8. You can put that back up. Thank you. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Salvation came to Zacchaeus that day. What that means is a heart change took place in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus came to the conclusion that no matter how many years of bitterness he had, he was going to change his heart. He was going to allow God to change his heart and make a new, set a new direction, turn over a new leaf, and live his life a new way. It was a heart change. And I'm telling you, you have to have a heart change when it comes to bitterness. How many in here know anything about Corrie Ten Boom? Some of you, you may, you know, years ago, she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. Corrie was, I believe her family was from Austria. And when the Nazis took over, came into Austria, they were persecuting people, and particularly the Jews. And Corrie's family were Christians. And Corrie, her mom and dad were believers, and they just did not appreciate what was going on with the persecution of the Jewish people. So they took Jewish people into their home and hid them and tried to get them out of the country. Well, the Nazis found out about it, the Germans. And when they found out about it, they took the whole family, and they'd separated them. They took Corrie and her sister. They took them to Ravensbrück, which was a terrible, terrible concentration camp where they were mistreated. Corrie never saw her mother and father again. And she writes many things in her book, and she talks about how she had to forgive. But one of the things that happened while they were at Ravensbrück was her sister died. They were mistreated terribly, and her sister died, and it was because of the way she was treated. But Corrie, after the war, began to preach about forgiveness because she knew how powerful it was and what needed to take place. But one day she was back in Germany preaching and teaching the Word of God and talking about forgiveness when she was confronted with one of the SS guards, the special guards that was a guard at the camp that she and her sister was in. And let me read to you her words about that situation. It was a church service in Munich that I saw him. The former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of all actual jailers I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room full of mocking men and heaps of clothing. Betsy's painful look. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. To think that you say, he has washed my sins away. His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to the people in Blumenthal, the need to forgive, kept my hands at my side. Even as the anger, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus had did this for this man. As long as I was going to ask for more, the Lord Jesus, I prayed, "Help me, Lord, forgive me and help me to forgive this man." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so, again, I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. While into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. God is the only one that can change our heart when it comes to bitterness. She had every right to be bitter. Her whole family died at the hands of the Germans. And yet she recognized how important it was. She cried out to the Lord Jesus, and he heard her cry. So overcoming bitterness has to be a change of heart. Overcoming bitterness requires a change of attitude. It's not just a change of heart, but you have to have a change of attitude as well. Attitude, and I've said this so many times, attitude determines your altitude. If you have the right attitude, you're going to soar at the right altitude. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus says this about forgiving someone of their debts or their sins toward us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is the Lord's Prayer. And he inserts this in the Lord's Prayer, teaching us how to pray. The Greek word debt means that which is owed, that which is justly or legally due. It is a debt that someone owes us. When we feel bitterness towards someone, it's because we feel like they owe us a debt. There's a reason for it. We recognize that when somebody trespasses, the word trespass literally means sin, a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness, a sin, a misdeed. It may be very true that someone has trespassed against us, but it is absolutely essential that we have the right attitude about bitterness and unforgiveness. In that same chapter, or in chapter 18, I guess it is, Peter asked Jesus, Matthew 21, he says this, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, the reason Peter is asking him up to seven times because Peter thought he had knowledge about what was right. And the reason that he thought that that was right was because the rabbis taught, based on the teaching of a great rabbi, Hillel, that seven was God's perfect number. And because seven was God's perfect number, you only had to forgive somebody seven times if they offended you for something. So after the seventh time, you were free to have bitterness and unforgiveness in your life or in your heart. And Jesus says this to Peter. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to seven times, 70 times seven. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about a literal number here, 490 times. He was saying indefinitely. You have to continue to forgive. You must. And it's not just for that person. Forgiveness is all about your heart and keeping your heart pure before the Lord. Jesus taught us no matter how many times people sin against us, don't allow that root of bitterness to rise up inside of us. It's not a religious attitude. It's not a social attitude that we have. It must be a godly attitude. We must flee from this. We must recognize how important it is not to allow that root of bitterness to grow in our lives. Funny little story that I heard some time ago. It was about a mother who lived in Darlington, Maryland. She had five children, and one day she came back from visiting a neighbor, and her children were huddled around in the yard doing something. They were all really intent on whatever they were doing. And she walked up. She wanted to see what they were up to. And when she walked up close enough to see what was happening, she was horrified. The children were playing with five little skunks. The mother freaked out and said, run, children. Every one of them picked up a skunk and ran in the different direction. You know, I believe that sometimes, you know, God is telling us to flee from this bitterness. Don't let unforgiveness and bitterness rise up in our lives. And sometimes we pick up that stinking thing and run with it instead of running to him. We've got to allow him to change our heart, yes. But we must also change our attitude about bitterness. Our attitude must be a godly attitude. Now, if you watch any TV or movies or anything, you get the impression that our society thinks it's okay to be vengeful. You know, people do it all the time. And you know, we sit and watch those shows and clap when that person that's been offended gets back at that other person. But that's not God's attitude toward bitterness or toward being offended. God's attitude is wipe out bitterness. Get it out of our life. And I can't tell you that it's easy. It is not. But here's what Colossians tells us, 2:13. And you, being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your faith, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses. If he forgives us all trespasses, we must forgive all trespasses, not allowing that bitterness to grow. Overcoming bitterness requires a change of behavior. It's my last point this morning. After Jesus told Peter he must forgive no matter how many times his brother sins against him, he gave this parable. He said a king had servants, and he called those servants in to give account of all the things that they were doing and all the things that they owed him. And one was brought in who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent is a fair sum of money. A denarius was a Roman silver coin, weighed about 4 grams. It was a day's wages for a common soldier or laborer. A talent was worth 6,000 denarii, so 6,000 days' wages. 16 years of wages was one talent. So in terms of today's currency, 10,000 talents was millions of dollars. This guy owed him millions of dollars, a sum that was probably impossible for him to pay back. And yet, the king forgave him because he begged him. 100 denarii would have been about 14 weeks worth of wages, an amount that probably could have been paid back in a reasonable amount of time. But this guy goes along, and instead of forgiving his own, fellow servant, he throws him into prison where he is with the tormentors. And Jesus sums this all up when he says, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due him. So, now listen carefully. So, my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Jesus makes it perfectly clear. If we allow this root of bitterness to grow in us and become unforgiveness, and we harbor it and we hold on to it, it will destroy us. We like to think that we're making someone else miserable. But the truth is, when we hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness, we're really destroying ourselves. We're destroying our family. We're destroying people around us. Unforgiveness, this bitterness that wants to grow up inside of each and every one of us, has to be dealt with. First of all, we have to let Jesus deal with our heart. We have to have a heart change. Then we have to deal with our attitude, because attitude is everything in regards to the way we handle things. And then we have to change our behavior. We have to ask for forgiveness. Not only ask God for forgiveness, but sometimes we have to go to the other person. Maybe we didn't do anything wrong, but there's something freeing about saying, I'm sorry. I've told all of you this story about, and some of you may not know, but a few years ago, we had a couple little puppies, and I heard some shots. My puppies were not around the house, and I heard some shots, and somebody came up to my house and said, your dogs have just been shot. And I knew exactly where to go. There was a neighbor close by that was known to shoot dogs that came into his yard. So I went over to his house, and I got to tell you, I was angry. I was extremely angry. And I said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And, you know, the truth is, I really wanted to fight that day. Really. But yet, you know, there was the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. You know, you do not want your name in the paper as Pastor Rob Barber. Win or lose, it's going to be bad. So I backed down and I went home. And I still was angry. I dealt with this. And I had to ask God to help me deal with this situation, because he killed one of the dogs and one of them was wounded and we had to take to the vet and she survived. But I just couldn't understand, you know, why someone would to do that to a couple little puppies. And my attitude had to be dealt with, and my heart had to be dealt with. And I asked God to help me with that, and I felt like he just really touched me and allowed me to be able to deal with that. And I was able to change my attitude toward God's attitude, not my anger and frustration. But it went on for a long time, and you know, I had not talked to that guy since then. And I felt like Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to go talk to him. You need to go deal with this. So not long ago, I saw the guy for the first time since that incident. And I talked to him and I apologized to him. I said, I didn't mean the things I said. You know, forgive me. And he said, I forgot all about it. He didn't apologize or anything, and that wasn't important. What was important was that I lifted the burden off my chest, and I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be with the Lord in regards to that situation. That wasn't easy. It never is. But when we realize the power of forgiving and not allowing the bitterness to grow inside of us, not allowing that root to grow, to go down and spring up all over the place in our life, in our family's lives, there is something powerful and freeing in dealing with the situations God's way and not our way. I'm not anybody special, you know. I make all kinds of mistakes and many times I have to ask for forgiveness. But I do know this. Our God is about building his kingdom. And when his people follow his principles, the kingdom expands. I expect good things to happen out of that bad situation, that people will learn and grow and we'll all grow together. Stand with me. You know, bitterness will enslave you. It'll keep you bound up. It'll allow the enemy to put you in a place where you're tormented. That's what Jesus talked about when he said, he'll turn you over to the tormentors. Torment. The jailers will torment you for as long as you allow them to. There was a little boy who was at his grandparents' farm, and he had a brand new slingshot. And he took that slingshot out in the woods, and he practiced, and he just wasn't able to hit anything. On his way back in, he saw his grandmother's prize duck, and just on a whim, he took that slingshot and aimed at that duck, and bam, he hit his target, killed the duck right there. He was scared to death. He went over and picked up the duck, hid it in the wood pile. And as he was doing it, he noticed his sister standing on the porch. She saw the whole thing. That night, that day at lunch, they sat down. And Grandma got up after lunch and said, Susie, I need your help doing the dishes. And Susie said, oh, Grandma Johnny wants to help you with the dishes. And she leaned over and said, remember the duck. Johnny started to get pretty bitter about this situation. He went in and did the dishes. That afternoon, Grandpa said, "Let's go fishing, kids." And Grandma said, "I need Sally to help me fix dinner." And Sally said, "Johnny wants to help you fix dinner. He told me." And she leaned over and said, "Remember the duck." Johnny did it. And he couldn't stand it anymore. He went in with Grandma to help with dinner. And he couldn't stand this pain and this bitterness that he was feeling. He had to get it off his chest. And he said, "Grandma, I got to tell you something. I killed your prized duck." Grandma said, "I know, Johnny. I was standing at this window. I saw the whole thing. I just wondered how long you'd let Sally torment you and put you in bondage." That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to torment you. He wants to keep you in bondage. And when we release it, when we say, "Forgive me, don't let this bitterness build up inside of me," there is something incredible freeing about it. Let's pray. Father God, let us this morning to recognize your goodness. This root of bitterness is something that you've said if we allow it to grow, it creates all kinds of evil and ungodliness. We don't want that in our lives. We don't want it in our families. We don't want it in our church. We don't want it in our community. Father, help us to be agents of change and to show others what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ and to walk in forgiveness. Today, Father, we give you glory and honor. We praise your holy name because you are an awesome and mighty God. You give us strength, you give us courage, and you give us the ability to walk according to your word and your will. That we will change our lives for your better, and that you would direct us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.